Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How do you fight poverty and restore dignity through the message of faith, freedom, and personal responsibility? The Center for Renewal and Education, CURE, has made it their mission to do just that. Reverend Derek McCoy is the Executive Vice President at CURE. He joins us today explaining how CURE addresses issues of race, poverty, and culture via policy media and a nationwide clergy network. Hey, talking about a network, a gathering together, a linking together. It's these bonds of community. It's these bonds that are forged through a singular purpose, anchored in a singular person, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's why we're here today, dear one. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you. The reason we have the Good Life program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through at this moment, however challenging things might be, or however dark things may seem, there is always light and hope in Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Reverend Derek McCoy, will touch your heart today. And I believe, and it's our prayer and our hope, that you, if you don't know Christ, that you would come to know him, that you would open your heart to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you're walking with the Lord, well, we believe today will be a day where you will be built up, encouraged. Reverend Derek McCoy served in the United States Army Reserve. He's also held management positions and received regional and national awards from Fortune 500 companies. Reverend McCoy, welcome to our show.
It is so good to be with you, Danny. I thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up, it's a good one. I grew up in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. My dad moved up from the South and wanted to be a school teacher. And so when he moved up here, he met a wonderful lady named my mother. And I got the opportunity to grow up in Washington, D.C.
What was it like growing up there in D.C.?
You know, in D.C., it's so interesting because so many people come from all over the world to come to the nation's capital. But yet I was here. I was a kid in school, and I got the chance to, you know, go to the monuments, go to the museums, and go to all the stuff that you see on a daily basis. And I love the question because right here is our, you know, is kind of the seat of government. And, you know, be honest, I think it kind of bypassed me a little bit. It became very familiar to me about those surroundings and where I grew up. But, you know, as I got older and really as Christ invaded my life and then we started understanding what actually took place here, my eyes awoken.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Wonderful. Well, you know, that's a great question because there's so many different people that probably influenced me. I would say it's really interesting. Probably in my early adolescent years, there was a priest, actually, and it was a guy named Father Tom Kalita. And Father Tom Kalita, because I grew up in parochial schools at that time, and it was this one priest who had been a part of what we call the Steubenville Revival, and that had swept through up in Ohio, and he had come to know Christ and in a real special way, but he was still a priest at our church. And I got to know him quite closely because I grew up as a Catholic kid, altar boy, And but Father Tom Colita, I think, really had an incredible influence on me early on, probably about my latter teenage years. There was another guy who came into my life at that point, was Pastor David Longobardo. And then I would probably say Bishop Harry Jackson was I call him my father in the Lord at this day. And really a powerful influence in my life that really helped me shape things, grow as a young man, really mature in Christ and understand some things. And really, be honest, Danny, it really helped me deal with character issues in my life and really get to know Christ and understand some of those real core things that sometimes we don't want to confront, but we got to confront to grow and to get better and to see the gospel take place transformatively in our life.
You mentioned character, the transformation of Christ in your life, and they're at the seat of government. Boy, aren't we being reminded today of the importance of character. And I think, well, really, as I say that, I'm thinking instead of pointing my finger at someone in the media, I think that's a check on myself.
Yeah.
Ourselves, don't you think?
I think so. And I think, I mean, just it's interesting, as I was in the office today and we were looking at all of these different things that are happening today in our culture. I mean, today's news cycle seems to be all the accusations that are going on, mm-hmm. and what people did and everything. And I was asking myself, I said, man, is my eyes that closed? Do I understand? I mean, why are all of these people having all these allegations hurled against them? And I said, boy, this is a character issue. This is something that God has to grab our hearts. And hear me, people struggle with things all through their life. And but the incredible thing about Christ in our lives is that he will take those things and disintegrate them for us if we're willing to deal with them at the altar, and totally evaporate them out of our lives. But then formulate a character, a container. I always look at it like this, Danny, where it talks about you know, new wineskins, and God will give you new wineskins for new wine. And oftentimes, if we look at those old wineskins, that's our old self and our old stuff and all of who we kind of crafted to be. And sometimes we try and fit new stuff in those things, but they got holes and it has issues and it has, it's tearing and it's ripping at the seams. But God's trying to craft things in our life. And that's kind of where we go back to even the things that we do a cure with, restoring dignity into people's life. But it's like he has to put these things that he wants to do in your life into these new wineskins so you can be a container and your character can contain the things that he wants to do personally in your life. If he's going to take you from a life of sin into a life where you're thriving and you're flourishing and out of sin and out of addiction or out of some of the things that grab us, well, he's got to do some stuff as in the container, and it can't just be in the same old thing. So, sorry for the long answer, but it's just that character piece is so true that God really is trying to deal with our character at heart on so many different issues and so many different ways. And we just have to be open and willing to allow him to do it. I know we're, talking about kind of the stuff we do, but at core, the only reason why I got involved in the stuff we do is because I know that Christ will transform lives, and transform lives transforms communities. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen any other way.
How did you become a Christian?
Wow, that's a great one too. this is a good one, so hold on to your seat. years ago, I mentioned I kind of grew up as a young Catholic boy and just went to parochial school but did pretty much anything you wanted to do. There was no real rhyme or reason to how I lived my life. I was good in a character school to some degree, but I was not in a Christian school or did not really know Christ personally. I have a handicapped sister who's a little bit younger than me. My mom was taking her to a babysitter, and the babysitter kept gnawing my mom, hey, you need to go to this crusade with me so you can see this guy. She said, well, it's not really my thing. Well, make a long story short, my mother says, I'm just going to go up here for this weekend, see this crusade, and see what happens, and just to get her off my case, so she won't stop bugging. So my mother goes away for a weekend. I got to tell my mom's story in order to tell my story because it's so integrated. But when she went away for the weekend, she comes back and she's totally transformed. Never drank again, never smoked again, totally changed. You saw this glow in her, and he was like, what went on that weekend? Well, she went to a crusade at that point, a guy named Ernest Angley, and God really delivered her in her life and really changed her life. She accepted Christ, and things just totally changed for her. Well, she started telling me about this. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I don't know this lady who has come back. Where's my mother? And so she took me to a church locally here, and I'll never forget the day when I was gone for probably about a series of about 3 or 4 weeks, and those messages started really getting to me. And this was when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and I went to service, and the lady, you know, makes an altar call, and I said, you know, there's this big tug in my heart, and I'm sweating up everything, and I'm kind of tearing a little bit. And I said, you know, I'm going to make this decision. And I raised my hand, and I accepted Christ at that point, and I asked him to come into my life. And that was the beginning of a real transformation for me and a real change in my own heart, in my own life. And it was powerful. But I'll tell you this, Danny, while it was incredible, I went through those high school years just back and forth, just struggling, almost in the point where I knew that God was trying to woo me into his life, and I was trying to live right, but then the weekends would come and all sorts of temptation would come, and next thing you know, I'm falling and I'm struggling, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And I was away summer, and yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Well, let's go in and out. Sure. Like you were talking about going in and out. We're going to go in and out.
We're going to go
in and out.
All right.
In and out to our break. But when we come back, that's the beginning of the new beginning of Derek McCoy. Reverend Derek McCoy today. He is working and serving today the Center for Renewal and Education as the Executive Vice President at CURE. When we come back, he'll share more of the story of how the Lord not only got a hold of his life, but began to mold and shape and transform his life. He mentioned about character. Oh, gosh, that really speaks to me. And I think that should have an impact on all of us. You watch he mentioned the news cycle. You go online, or you watch it on television, or you look at your smartphone and you see, and you sort of wonder, well, what next? Who's the next one? Who's next? What's the next hero or well-known person that's going to be accused of wrongdoing? Character. Pray for our leaders. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Reverend Derek McCoy, he's been featured on NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, NPR, Fox Business, EWTN. He's with us today here at the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Almashiro here. Thanks for joining us. It's a blessing that you're with us today, and I believe that you will be touched by the testimony of Reverend Derek McCoy. Perhaps you caught the tail end of the last segment, heard him ramping up, sharing his story of God's touch on his life. Well, he's going to share more. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You say, Danny, how can I find out more about Derek McCoy and Star Parker and CURE, C-U-R-E, Center for Renewal and Education? Well, urbancure.org. Yeah, go to urbancure.org, find out all kinds of information about the ministry, the organization, the mission, the objective, and the methods that they use. Derek, continue, dear brother. How did the Lord begin to shape you in that process of in and out?
Well, that's awesome, Danny. And like I was saying, and you know, because you might have some people listening to this and saying, man, they were struggling. I was really struggling with my faith. I was struggling with being consistent. And I was struggling with, I really loved God, and I knew that this was a really good decision, but it was tough. It was just one of those things. I said, man, how could I love God on one day, and then the next day it feels like I'm so far away. It was like when Paul talks about it, you know, when we struggle sometimes, and I paraphrase this way so people can understand, is that internally when I want to do right, there's something in me that wants to do that, but at the same time, there's a fight internally of the things to do wrong. And so this was going on with me. I was like an internal fight of wanting to do right, but then at the same time, my actions would not measure up to that and would not be the same way. And so it was about when I was about 19 years old, and I'll never forget, I was away, and I said, okay, this is getting tough. And I said, okay, well, I was going to come home. I was away at school, and I was coming home, and said, okay, my parents had said, hey, they're going to be gone for a month. They're going to go on vacation. They're doing all this. I said, wow, great opportunity. I get the house to myself, and maybe I could do a party. Maybe I could just have friends over and just really hang out. And this wasn't a Christian thing. So it was one of those things. And you know, I got home, Danny, and then everybody I called, nobody was available. I'm not a boring guy, but there was nothing. I couldn't connect with anybody. No, everybody was gone. It was as if God shut down every potential avenue that I had. And I'll never forget this. I said, okay, let me go to the youth group that's going on. So I went to the youth group. We went to a place down in D.C., and this guy was preaching, and it was like he was talking directly to me. And he said, do you struggle? Are you going through this? And he just kind of nailed me through these several years, and I just broke down crying. And I just knew, I heard a whisper from the Lord and really saying, it's time for you to make your decision as a man. Mm-hmm. And when you make this decision, you won't go back, and you can't go back. It was almost, Danny, as if when I made this decision, I didn't know if I had an opportunity to make another decision. I didn't know if I'll ever have an opportunity to fail again, because I really felt it was that powerful to me, and that God was really putting an ultimatum out and saying, you're going to make this decision or you may not get the opportunity to make it again. And it wasn't out of fear, but it was a compelling thing that called me in the depth of my manhood to say, you're going to be a man or you're not. And I remember that so clearly, and it was to this day, I still tell the story that I really believe the Lord spoke and said, hey, I'm calling you as a man to make this decision. And when I heard that, something jumped up inside of me. And I remember that Sunday I went to church, and I had already, during the time I was at home, I had accepted the Lord personally. And I just said, Lord, I rededicate my life to you. I accept you this time into my life. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. I ask, you know, and I repent for my sins. And I ask God to change the things in my life that were just drawing me away and pulling me away. And next thing you know, I went Sunday, and the guy made another altar call on Sunday. He said, if you want to accept the Lord, I said, And it was, to me, it wasn't even going up to accept the Lord. He said, I'm going to acknowledge you in front of other people. And so for me, and I just said, I'm walking up just so people will know that I'm going up here. And hear me, most people thought I was good. Most people said, oh, that's a good kid. But I wasn't. And my life was messed up. And I hung with the wrong crowd at times and, you know, doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, drinking at times. And I said, living a life that just was not pleasing to God. But I tell you something, Lord, when God came, yeah.
Yeah, the Lord certainly has done a marvelous work in and through you. I mean, serving for 20 years as an associate pastor at Hope Christian Church and yeah. serving as president of the Maryland Family Alliance. Now you're serving at CURE, Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Who founded CURE?
Well, Star Parker, our president, founded CURE. It's an amazing story. She was living a crazy lifestyle as well. Just she calls it out of control. She had four abortions. She was using it like birth control, as she would tell people. She was just out of control. She was, you know, doing things that were illegal, things that were not lawful. And she was trying to do, you know, kind of do a business deal with the guy one day. And she goes up to him and said, hey, I'm trying to sell you this thing. And the guy said, I'm not doing business with you because your lifestyle is unacceptable. She said, unacceptable to who? She told you, the man told her, unacceptable to God. And she said that shook her to her boots. It just shook her. Because nobody had ever confronted her lifestyle. And so next thing you know, this guy keeps talking to her about Christ and about what he could do in your life. She has an interaction with faith and accepts Christ into her life personally. After that, she had no more abortion. She then later went on and tried to get help on a couple of different issues because she's trapped on welfare at that point. She takes her name after gets coaching and some mentoring and challenging to be personally responsible. She takes her name off the welfare rolls. She writes the government and says, I'm no longer going to be on welfare. Take my name off. Don't send me a check anymore. And her life dramatically transforms. From there forward, she starts to, things just totally changed. Her life started to change. She thought she would never have kids. She ended up having two gorgeous daughters, and one of her daughters is now in doing movies and in L.A., and you see her on TV shows, gorgeous grandkids. God just totally transformed her life, and it's an incredible story, but it's one of those things, too. She wrote about it saying that, Uncle Sam's plantation, meaning when she was on the government roll and she was on welfare, it kept her trapped, and it kept her not seeking to get better, not seeking to improve her life. It kept her without dignity. And so with that, it really transformed her life. And that's kind of the quick story of Star Parker.
When did you feel led to join forces with CURE?
Sure. I had known Star for some time. I'd done some, we actually had her as a guest a couple of times in a couple of pastor summits that we had done as I was on the High Impact Leadership Coalition. And, but some years later, we always have known each other. I worked on some statewide campaigns in terms of some issues on the marriage campaign in California, and then I was running Maryland Family Alliance. And after that, Star and I were talking one day, and she said, "Hey, I really want you to come over and talk to me." And she, we had joked before about working together one day, knowing that a lot of the things that I've done with clergy and reaching out and broadening those coalitions have been really effective by the grace of God. And so she asked me one day, she said, "Hey, would you be open to doing this? Go pray about this thing and see if this is something that you would do." And when she started detailing to me what this job entailed and what she wanted to do and kind of laying out the vision, it was interesting. About a year before that, I had a meeting in my office with a team of people, and on a whiteboard, I had laid out everything she said and talking about how to do this nationally, what impact we can make. And on my whiteboard, the person said, "You got to see what you wrote on this whiteboard, because what she's telling you is what we talked about a year ago, verbatim." And I said, all right, Lord, this must be you. I think this was God speaking. And about really, because sometimes, you know, you don't have to do everything yourself. God can bring you into coalition and joining forces with people to make you more effective and to make you better and to make you be able to, you know, I look at it, we make a great team. I try to, I'm a strength in some of those areas where it may not be hers and vice versa. And it is incredible because she is so gifted and talented in so many different ways. But at the same time, God's given me a unique niche and God's given me a unique voice. And so I believe that, you know, pastors are so critical to our culture and we need to make sure that we serve them well, we educate them so that they can become engaged and that they understand what power that they have to actually transform their communities and help restore dignity into people's lives. They know the gospel. They know how to communicate the gospel. But what I say is some of the things we talk about is the outward process of once they are learned in their faith and they grow in their faith, what do they do next?
Hey, when we come back, Derek, I'd like to for you to share the pillars of a cure.
Sure.
What are they? How do they operate? How do they work within the context of your overall methodology? I mean, this is a cause, a great cause, impacting many, many more lives in the days to come. But you need a method, and you need foundation, those values. And you're doing it. You're doing it. So when we come back, more from Reverend Derek McCoy. Hey, he shared his story with us. Remember, we talked about character. He mentioned about being steady for the long haul. Oh, that's a lot easier said than done. Leaders of your churches, your pastors, leaders in government. Oh, remember 1 Timothy 2:2. Pray for your leaders. Pray for one another. Pray. And when we come back, Reverend Derek McCoy will share more about cure. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Although by expert estimation, over $15 trillion dollars have been spent since 1965 in the war on poverty, black poverty rates have been virtually unchanged, and deep damage has been caused to black families. You're listening to the Good Life radio show. You say, Danny, how is this talking about the Good Life? Well, CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, is helping to do just that. Bring the good life in a foundational way. You can find out more about CURE at urbancure.org. This is the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here with Reverend Derek McCoy. Thanks for joining us. Again, urbancure.org. Derek, what are the pillars of CURE?
Sure. Well, you know, this is the exciting thing at CURE, and we call it Center for Urban Renewal and Education, kind of acronym is CURE. We always say, you know, we work to fight poverty and restore dignity through faith, freedom, and personal responsibility. We do that three different ways, or by using three different pillars. One pillar is policy. And when we say policy, we say changing laws to change lives. It is so crucial and important that we are in the place to be able to help change laws in our land. Do you know that most people, once laws begin to change, they follow those laws almost unashamedly? They follow them just lock, step, and barrel, and they just go for them. And what happens is, if we're not in front of it to be a change agent, to make sure that we're getting the right laws changed, and also that we're doing laws that make sense. I often tell the story, when I was running a policy council in one state alone, in a period of 90 days, the legislatures looked at about 6,000 possible law changes, and they would probably meter that down in 90 days to about 2,000 changes that they would actually make in one 90-day session every single year. Well, if that many laws are changing just in one state in one year in a 90-day session, what else is going on? The average person doesn't know that many laws are being changed. So we say we have to be engaged. We have to be there to make sure that when those laws change, we can put laws in place that are actually changing people's lives for the better. And so that's why we want to be engaged in policy. We have academians, good, smart thinkers that have been around for a long time that engage with us on that. We got that have been involved in this, that help pull policies together. We're at the table. We work on welfare reform. We work on educational choice opportunities. We work on so many different issues. We've written a lot of different pieces and put things in place that really are helping to do. We're working right now with the current administration to really work on how do we have a plan to fix our inner cities. And here are our points that we're trying to push for. So and working on a special task force with that. The other pillar that I would say is media. Being a voice in the public square is critical. God never calls us to check our faith at the door when we become believers. We have to be people that are in that public square and know how to talk to people, know how to, you know, I call it, be like Jesus, talk in parables, talk about the modern day issues that are happening, but really address those issues of, as we say it, race, poverty, culture, from a Judeo-Christian perspective. Where's the Christian voice in talking about some of these issues? And so oftentimes we hear all of this onslaught of news from a one-sided perspective, but we don't hear what's the Christian perspective on this? How should we be thinking about it? I often say it like this, and even in terms of preaching, what's the unobvious truth? Everybody in news, on the news cycle, is going to say pretty much the same thing. But what's the other side of the things that aren't being said that needs to be addressed? When you deal with issues like Ferguson and riots and different issues, well, what's happened with, why do those situations exist? Why is the guy that is there in Ferguson going through all that, the Michael Brown situation, which a lot of people heard about around their country, but often at the same time, did they talk about that this was a guy who was in a school that was unaccredited just months before he graduated? And, you know, that was in situations that did not adequately prepare him to be a good, strong citizen in his community. So those are things we'd address. The third pillar that I would say, Danny, is our National Clergy Network, which is so important, where we work to educate, equip, and engage clergy on issues that are affecting our culture. And we look at it like this. Isaiah 45 talks about it, where, you know, you could be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins. And I look at that. I mean, that's a tall order when you look in Scripture. It says, how can you be somebody who could fix anything? But Scripture talks about it like that. And if leaders in our community that are called of God, that can get the wisdom of God, they can understand His hand upon their life, but really get insight and apply wisdom and knowledge, as it talks about in Proverbs, guess what? I believe they can get strategies from heaven and strategies to change our cities, our culture, and our community. They can look at dire situations, just like they did in the book of Nehemiah, and say, man, we need to repair this wall. Or look at it like in Ezekiel and say, we need to stand in the gap here. And or as I was looking, you know, I was just in Jerusalem the other day, and they said, oh, we need to be on top of this wall and be watchmen for this wall and watchmen on this city. And so I look at those things and say, this is what we can do to help empower and educate our clergy around our country to say we can be engaged. It doesn't mean that clergy only talk about, and see, I'm one of these guys that says, I am absolutely believe at core that our primary calling is to win souls to Christ. At the same time, I'm also the guy that says, when we win souls to Christ, we're supposed to be, it says, occupy till I come, meaning we're supposed to be engaged in our culture, to be in the community, but not of the community. You know, saying, I'm drawing a blank, but it's one of those, the statement of, you know what I'm trying to say, we're basically to be in this world, but not of this world. Sorry. But it's one of those things where it says, occupy till I come is what Scripture tells us. And when Scripture tells us that, it tells us once we are believers, we're now supposed to occupy areas in our life. We're supposed to occupy the entertainment industry, occupy the political aspects, occupy our communities and our school boards and other areas of society. We don't leave those alone. We don't say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. No, we're supposed to be a voice, occupy the places, and be a standard bearer in our community. We don't change Scripture. Scripture changes us. And so whatever the Bible talks about is what we have to conform to. It does not conform to us. We conform to it. Mm-hmm. And when we conform to it, God uses our voice, our character, our walk to be shining examples. And sometimes it is an example of just living a lifestyle. But at the other times, it's an example of being a mouthpiece and being able to speak out what is true.
Policy center, media center, clergy center, the three pillars of Center for Urban Renewal and Education, urbancure.org. Derek, describe, when I came back in, I mentioned about deep damage that has been caused to black families in spite of over $15 trillion spent since 1965. Describe deep damage caused to black families. What is that?
You know, this is where my heart breaks. Because we looked at it, you know, back when Lyndon B. Johnson was in office and he talked about, hey, we're gonna do this entitlement program. And we're going to give them something. And really, you got to look sometimes at the heart of the issue of why these things came in play. There was a lot going on during the civil rights time and Martin Luther King Jr. era. But one of the things that Lyndon B. Johnson said that still sticks out to me is, you know, and he said it like this. He says, we got to give them niggers something because, and if we do, they'll vote for us for the rest of their life. They'll vote this way the rest of their life, meaning he knew he was making a political decision to change the way people vote. The problem with that was that when he did that decision, he took that black family and crushed it. There were people that were in his ear, like Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who gave what I call almost a prophetic report back in those days. And he was a politician, but he was also a statesman. He was a guy who was giving Lyndon B. Johnson, President Johnson at that time, and said, look, we can't, these trends look really bad, especially in the black community. And right now, their ratio of parents being together are starting to decline. The ratio of single family out of wedlock children is going up. The ratio of single parent households is going up. And so back then, when we were dealing with numbers about in the 30 percentile range, now we're at 78% African American kids being in a single family household. 78%. It was 72. It's been escalating to 78% now. And now you're looking at the demise of the family, especially the black family. The family is a core aspect that just goes across the board. With a mom and a dad in the household, that is the most critical piece of the pie to making sure that our kids are raised in stable environments, that they're getting the best possible opportunities afforded to them, that they're not being raised in poverty, and they have a chance for future opportunities. And so when you look at the destruction of what welfare has done, welfare is crippled people. It has put people in a system that I don't have to work, I don't have to earn, I don't have to have personal responsibility, and oh, by the way, somebody, it makes me feel entitled so that I'm just receiving something, but I never have to work to give it. See, the Bible talks about that. He says the ant and the sluggard don't expect them to receive anything for their labor. And because they don't give any labor, they're not doing anything. That ant or that sluggard is not doing anything. And so, you know, it goes back to, while that scripture, we also look at it in the same thing of how welfare has crippled people. It has been a terrible thing that has worked on our system. And it's, many people look at it, well, we need to give them something to help them get a leg up. Well, hear me. Giving people something with a leg up, with no accountability and no requirements, does nothing but actually puts you in reverse. And it makes people not want to strive. It makes people not want to grow. It makes people really, what I say is, take away their ambitions and their desires of hope and a future. And I think, you know, as we kind of look at this, when we talk about it often, one of my scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." And if God is trying to give people hope and a future and put dignity in their life, what welfare does is it actually takes out the hope, it takes out the future, and it tells them, you don't have to do anything because we're just going to give you everything. And it traps people.
Derek, I hear, I understand, I think I grasp a part of what you're saying, and it makes sense. It makes sense. The only thing that, and I want you to answer this when we come back, but someone might be listening and saying, you know, I understand about the dignity, I understand about responsibility, I even understand about the biblical perspective of, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, I get that. But practically speaking, we have been weaned on this system in government for decades. Generations have gone through. So you're speaking from an idealistic standpoint, and one may not necessarily disagree with it, but the challenge being, and I know you talked about policy and you're talking about media and, of course, clergy, but maybe when we come back from our break, you can just spend a few moments speaking of how through policy, this can, like you said, the laws change, people begin to lockstep, right? By moving according to the law. So legislation is critical. But how does this, how do you see this, or how do you and STAR and CURE as an organization begin to see this? And maybe there are probably others, movements and groups and committees that are working towards this, but how do you see that transition actually taking place on a grassroots level over the course of time?
Sure.
Perhaps a few moments spent on that when we come back. More from Reverend Derek McCoy. He's the executive vice president at the Center for Renewal and Education. UrbanCure.org, that's how you can find out more. He's been so gracious to share clearly with examples what really burns on his heart. But in addition to his answer, I'm going to, when we come back for our last segment, a little talk about education. Education is a very key element in the whole design. When we come back, more from Reverend Derek McCoy. Stay with us.
During the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you on.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the importance of education plays a central role in personal development and advancement. For a child improperly educated and coming from a poor home faces dimmer prospects for achievement in our competitive free society. There, you can read that and more at urbancure.org. Reverend McCoy will speak with us about education. But going back, let me just reset the table a little bit before our break. He was talking about how welfare cripples people in society. Maybe that's not necessarily a strong enough word. Not only that, it demoralizes people and prevents people from really reaching potential. Well, that's tied in quite deeply with legislation, that's tied into a long process of socialization that has taken place to the point where people live a certain way, don't even realize what's happening. Hey, this is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Reverend Derek McCoy, with us from the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Find out more at urbancure.org. Hey, if you want to get this program in its entirety, online 24/7 at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Share it with a family member or a friend. Well, Derek, going back, how do we make this happen over the course of time?
Yeah, that's a great question, Danny. One thing that I'll say this, and let me quickly just say this one thing. When we talk about these issues, they're tough issues. They're tough problems. Our communities are hurting. We can see it, and so many people understand that the dire place that we are in some of our areas. But let me, you know, I go back to that Jeremiah 29:11, and I don't say it lightly. I think people have to understand that God's way is a better way. And when I say, you know, welfare has really hurt us and crippled us and taken away hope, I mean that. But one of the things that, you know, sometimes we look at and say, well, how do we turn the ship? There's so much. I mean, shouldn't we do some of these things? Shouldn't we take some of the welfare money? Shouldn't we keep going? And I look at it and say, you know what, we got to trust God. We got to believe that he can do something dramatically better in our life than what the government has tried to do. And sometimes I think we've given too much enablement to the government to say, well, you could fix this, and it really wasn't their place to fix it. If we look in kind of a New Testament kind of thing, they went, you know, house to house, breaking bread together, sharing their needs as each one had need. And there was a system that was created that they actually cared for other people. And I think that's called community. And I think there's a lot of places where we can grow our communities now, help our communities continue to flourish. And that's why I believe, one, in our strategy with pastors and reaching out to local community churches, that they are incredible tools in their communities. They can really impact them. And I think, you know, we do have to be engaged in policy. We have to look at those laws. And when they're starting to change things or be proactive in the areas, you know, our deal is to get people involved and get people engaged, get people on places where they can really make impact. And we got to turn the ship. There's not a, I wish I could say it's a presto magic thing and it all happens overnight. It doesn't. It happens one by one. It happens just like me. And I'm a guy who just woke up one day and realized, man, there's a culture war out here. there's things that are happening, and generations won't be around if we don't step up to the plate and really talk about these issues. Well, they won't know what's right, what's wrong, how to fight for what we're supposed to fight for, and be a voice. And so I got kids. I got, you know, young kids. Some of them are, you know, some teenagers and young adults. And I look at them, and I'm trying to tell them, you know, you don't rely on the government for your source, because the government is not your source. It's really Christ is your source. Now, that doesn't mean I float around on all day in this God way that just with no reality of where I'm living. No, I have a reality every day of where I live. But I also know when I look at tough situations, I say, you know what? We could change those tough situations, because He can give us creative solutions to actually make a difference. And what I mean by that is, if you look at some of our areas where the legislation that we can pass, we can be there. We can testify. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, Star was on Capitol Hill testifying on a heartbeat bill. Well, we can testify on those bills. I testified earlier on another bill, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. And in Congress, and because when they're calling on us to say, hey, look, why does this make a difference? Well, we need to step up to the plate and talk about why it makes a difference. And those are bills we could pass. If we go to education opportunities, we have been engaged in Colorado a little bit, and to try to help get rid of Blaine amendments that have been the things that have tried to hinder and stop educational choices coming from around, you know, and opportunities all over our country. Mm-hmm. There was a go ahead, sir.
Derek, we got a couple minutes left.
Sure.
Word of encouragement to someone. Big government, small government, they might not even, it might not even concern them right now because of their plight, their situation. Encouragement, Reverend Derek McCoy, and for this dear friend who's listening.
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, when you look at all this stuff and you're saying big government, small government, what does it mean? Well, we talk about limited government. Government shouldn't be in the way where it overtakes your life, it runs your life, and it tells you what to do. It gives you what you need, and it takes away everything you need. We have to be at a place where we say, you know what? That system has been out there for a long time, and it really hasn't worked too well. The least amount of government interaction in our life typically provides for us the best opportunity to be creative and allow God to do great things in our life. So I would encourage you, if you're listening today, that we serve a God who is mighty, who is great, who we believe incredibly that, you know, He gives the power to get wealth, meaning He can give you creative solutions, ideas, to be an entrepreneur, to get involved, to grow a business, to do whatever you need to do to take care of your family, to take care of your life, to get it on the right path, to give you hope, to give you a future, to give you a destiny, and to really look for things in the future. And to really, you know, maybe you're listening here today and say, man, I've been wanting to change some things in my local community. Good. Run for office. Get around some folks. Get some materials in your hand. Get educated. And run for office. If you're a pastor listening, you're trying to figure out what can I do, well, hey, look, get in touch with us. Or you know, find groups that can really help educate you on some of these issues that are happening. We're more than willing to help, to send out information. There's books out here, Frederick Bastiat, The Law, and other items and other things. We kind of incorporate a spiritual diet and some practical wisdom and knowledge and put it all together in a bucket and try to help people understand. Once you become a part of our network, we send stuff out to people just to help them be educated. But it's so important to do it, because I believe in a creative God and an incredible God who's concerned about every detail of every person's life and is not limited on resources. Where government is limited on resources, God is not.
A prayer in closing.
Prayer. Father, I thank you so much for everyone who is listening, who has listened to our voice, listened to what the things that you have told us to talk about, and listened to Danny's voice. And Lord, this kind of you've pricked their heart to tune into this broadcast. Lord, I believe that you're talking to some of them today, and then they're listening because they know that Jeremiah 29:11 is true. It rings true in their heart. That, Lord, did you give them a hope and a plan and a future for their life, that you have more for them in store than they can imagine, that you have more for them in store than what maybe they know what they want to do right now, or maybe there's something that's been burning in their heart to maybe see change, to make a difference. God, I believe they can make a difference where they are, and you can cause them to be difference makers in this world and in their lifetimes. Lord, you give us so many days in our life, and you say, teach us to number our days. And Lord, I pray that you, the people that are listening, would have impactful days ahead. God, that they would number those days, but they would be days of great impact, days of great substance, and days of great just great joy and blessing in their life. Lord, you have called some of us in this season and time. You know everything of what's going on in our world. And so, God, I just thank you so much that you already have it in control. You're working in our lives, and we ask for your blessings and direction in Jesus' name. Amen.
Derek McCoy, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your insight. And your voice, your clear voice, dear brother, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Danny. I really appreciate being with you.
Strategic words from Reverend Derek McCoy. Yeah. Strategic words from Reverend Derek McCoy. More at urbancure.org. Hey, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time and right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifefor.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifefor.com and click Partners. Isaiah 58:12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Reverend Derek McCoy, urbancure.org. Until next time, along with Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave